You're tuned in to an hour of what's scoring locally, across the country, and around the world. Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
No better way to kick off our last episode than with some Hip with 50 Mission Cap, a tribute to former Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Bill Barilko. Good evening and welcome to Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM for the August 25th edition of Spud Sports Sunday, PEI's only live sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Ryan McKenna, and this week on our last episode of the summer, yes, the last Spud Sports Sunday of the summer of 2013. We're going to talk hockey, and we're going to talk a lot of it. Starting off the show this week, we'll speak with Roger Hearn. You may recognize that name from his many, many years that he spent here at CJRW when he used to be called C102. He's going to stop by and preview the upcoming National Hockey League season. Yes, it's coming up quick. At 7:30, a local trainer from Stratford PEI, Sparrow Matsavrakis, will talk about his transition from North American training and how he landed a full-time job in the Continental Hockey League. At 7:45, another former voice here at CJRW, Corey Arsenault, and he's also one of the voices of Islanders Radio, doing broadcasts for the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. He'll preview their season. That's coming up. Wrapping up the show this week is a pair of voices that you may recognize here at Spud FM. It's Chris Pride from Pride in the Morning, as well as sales manager here at the station, Corey Jeffrey, both broadcasters for the Summerside Western Capitals. We'll preview their season and how the Caps are going to look after coming off an RBC Cup run in 2013. We'd like you guys to interact with us here at Spud FM and on Spud Sports Sunday. Check us out on Facebook. We're at 102.1 Spud FM. On Twitter, you can follow the show and its live updates at Spud FM, or you can follow me at my new Twitter handle, Ryan B. McKenna. Spud Sports Sunday is broadcast live on 102.1 Spud FM, as well as online at our website, www.spud.fm. If you missed tonight's show, or hey, if you wanted to listen to it once again, the podcast version will be available on our social media pages later this evening, as well as on iTunes under Sports Superstation. It creeped up on us fast, didn't it? Hockey season. It's just about here again. A lot of parents and kids alike, they're going into sports stores around PEI to scoop up that pair of skates that, they're just a little bit too tight after a summer of growing. And guess what? They aren't the only ones. NHL training camps, they'll be starting here in just a few weeks. And because this is our last show of the summer here on Spud Sports Sunday, there's no time like the present to look ahead at the NHL season coming up. Who better to talk about the sport and the National Hockey League than Summerside's own Roger Hearn. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, you might recognize his voice. He's been in the community for a very, very long time. His name is Roger Hearn, and he's now on Spud Sports Sunday talking some NHL. Roger, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Ryan. Appreciate you having me on. It's been a long time since I've been on Spud.
It's been a very long time. How long has it been, Roger?
I'm about 11 years, 12
years. 11 years.
Yeah.
That's insane. Well, it's great to have you back, and I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk a little bit of something that you love, some hockey.
Oh, yeah. Anytime we talk hockey or sports, I'm always game for that. Lots of fun.
Always game for that. Absolutely. Well, Roger, the NHL season is just over a month away, as crazy as that seems. September, it's going to be a week from today, and the first regular season game is due to start on Tuesday, October the 1st, with my Habs. They're facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's start off with those two teams, Roger. The Maple Leafs, they made a big splash by signing David Clarkson to a seven-year contract when free agency started in July. A lot of people felt as though he was a little bit, he was paid a little bit too much. The Leafs, they also traded for Jonathan Bernier, the goaltender coming over from the Los Angeles Kings. Roger, did the Leafs get any better this offseason?
I think they got better, but Clarkson had a lot of pressure on him because, I mean, he had a real good year with Jersey, right? And, I mean, he's a tough guy that you need to fight, but you really don't want him doing that. I think they may have given themselves a little bit of beefed up, help some of the guys that maybe, you know, that maybe play a little soft, and he might help them out. He'll get in the dirty areas. He'll be the kind of guy that'll be in front of the net. He gets a lot of goals when he's falling down, or, you know, he never gives up on the puck. I think he'll be a plus for them because they really need to add some toughness plus a little bit of scoring. And I think Bernier, goaltending has always been a little bit of a question mark with the Leafs, and I know they almost upset my Bruins in the playoffs last year, and the goaltending was pretty good, but you need that veteran goaltender, I think, to help your current guy. And I think Bernier, he wants to prove himself, and he wants to be a number one goaltender. So, to me, the Leafs made a step better. I think they got the experience of that first round with the Bruins, knowing what they probably should have done better, and maybe learned something from the Bruins, what they did. But goaltending and goal scoring and toughness, nice to add to your team.
And, you know, the Leafs are known as a tough team. You know, they've always been known, especially whenever Brian Burke came over. He really tried to build this team as, you know, that physical style team that's going to be in your face. And like you mentioned, David Clarkson is going to be able to do that for them.
I think he'll bring his other line mates to that area and the other team. And if I think he does what I know he did in Jersey, he'll talk to guys on the bench, right? And if you see a line maybe not getting out there banging and crashing and so on, you need a veteran guy to say, boys, we're going to be successful. We got to put a little bit out. Anybody can skate when nobody's hitting. But if we want to gain that zone and get in front of the dirty areas, I call it, I think he'll have a big influence on them. And maybe you'll see a change in the culture because they got a good coach. There's no question. You play for him, or you put out a shift, or you don't play. And I think he'll be happy to have him, and I think they'll spin off each other. I think it'll be a real plus for them.
Now, in regards to Jonathan Bernier and James Reimer, which one would you start the year off with? I know Reimer had a really strong playoffs last year against your Bruins. But, I mean, do you start the year with him, or do you give the new guy a chance?
You go with Reimer, I think, because if you don't, that means he feels they didn't feel he did a good job. Really, he carried them to as far as they got against the Bruins. I think you start him, but Bernier, you know, he's going to fight for a spot. And two guys fighting for the number one spot is a real good idea. The other thing is maybe you don't have a number one. Maybe you go with a guy for two or three games and go to another guy. And I think that's one of the things that's very important for the Leafs, is not to put all the pressure on Reimer.
It's going to be very interesting to see. And I know, I don't feel personally as though this situation is going to be solved until after Christmas, almost.
I believe so. And let's face it, everybody hasn't had a lot of time off. And, you know, there's still the stinging effect from last year, I think, for a bit of the Leafs. But I think you're going to see the first month is going to be a real test to see how the goaltending is shaping up in Toronto, plus everything else. Remember, it's a team game. Your goalie, if he's facing 40 shots a game, there's a chance he may lose a little bit more. But if he's only facing 20, the chances of him making more, you know, the saves and getting you through is there. So I believe if the team concept that I'm sure Randy's going to work on, the goaltender's going to be a big prep, but you got to cut the shots against down.
It's going to be very interesting to see. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking a little bit of NHL hockey. Now, moving on to the Montreal Canadiens. On the other hand, they've had, at least in my sense, a relatively quiet offseason. They signed Douglas Murray a couple days ago, which I feel as though is adding a lot of size on the back end. They also got Daniel Briere to name another addition to their team. So in order to the Habs to advance to the playoffs this year, I don't know, in my opinion, I feel as though they need their youth to keep on improving. Guys like Galchenyuk, Gallagher. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I think Gerard Glenn, I had a chance to talk with him. They love the young guys. Actually, it was the reason they had as good a season as they did was because of the young guys. Some of the older guys maybe got inspired by these young guys because they want to win. And I think Andy Murray is going to add some toughness. P.K. Subban, probably the best defenseman, could be the top two or three in the league, without a doubt. I mean, whether you like the Habs or not, you got to admit he's the big part of their team. And I think Murray, you need the toughness. Let's face it, if you look at Chicago, how they won the Stanley Cup, their defense, you got to have D, goaltending and D, keep you in the game, and then your offense hopefully will click in. But I really believe that they made a couple of good moves. We'll see how things shape up for them, because I think last year they snuck up on people. and they had a good year. But you saw down the stretch the last 2 weeks, few injuries and so on, but they kind of faded a little bit because it gets tougher to win the games when you really need them to get yourself into a playoff position.
Especially with you know, the short season that they had as well. Maybe, you know, that caught up to them a little bit. I know Carey Price, he really struggled right down that stretch where they really needed him as well.
No doubt. And if you talk to Gerard or anybody, they go as far as Carey Price takes them.
And he's a great goaltender.
Without a doubt. And I like him. I'm not a Montreal fan, as you know, but I like Carey Price because did he ever make an excuse? No. All he ever says is we all got to pick our game up. Or he never, ever says anything about anybody on the team. It's we. And I believe that he'll bounce back. And I think, again, the defense struggled a little bit in front of him, too. Like, I mean, he got some, they say, some weak goals in, but they were getting too many shots, too many turnovers inside their own blue line. And I really believe that I'd take Carey Price and my team very quickly.
Speaking of Carey Price and on your team, the Team Canada Summer Orientation Camp for Sochi 2014 wrapping up today in Calgary. Would you pencil Carey Price in as your number one? I know I would personally, but do you feel as though there's a better option in Canada right now, goaltending-wise?
I don't see too many more options. And he's proven international hockey. We've seen what he did. Like, I like him. I think he'd be no problem being the number one, and you've got a number two that whoever they pick could do it. But Carey Price would be my guy, and I think everybody would rally around him because of his personality. Young guy, well-liked on his team and well-liked around the league.
Absolutely. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking a little bit of NHL hockey. We'll now move on to your favorite team, the Boston Bruins. Hopefully you'll have some fun talking about these guys. They had quite the finish last year. They lost to the Chicago Blackhawks, though, in the Stanley Cup Final. I can just see the expression on your face now. What were your thoughts on that series?
I thought the Bruins, when they went up 2-1 and came back to Boston, I thought they played terrible in that game. They eventually tied it, if you remember, forced overtime. They had taken the steam out of Chicago's ship, and they let them back in it, and after that, I think we just kind of faded. And I still believe in Game 6, when they scored with under two minutes left, we had the wrong line on the ice. We had Lucic, and so on. We didn't have our checking line, of which, you know, those are the guys that are your bread and butter at that time. And Chicago never quit. Their experience of the Stanley Cup a couple of years prior to that, and, you know, their big guns came through for them, and even some lesser lights. And usually those are the guys that do it for you. But us having Bergeron hurt, playing with cracked ribs, and, you know, he's our best player. And he would have been out there on a defensive role, if you know what I mean. And I just think they got a little tired after losing that game. And Chera, 35 minutes of ice time, again, still one of the top defensemen. And I just, if you look back in front of the net on the tying goal, Lucic was standing right beside the player for Chicago, didn't tie him up, and you got to tie a guy up with under 2 minutes to go in Game 6, or you're going to force Game 7. I still haven't got over it, but Chicago's a good team. I have no problem. I got a lot of friends that cheer for Chicago.
And to be honest, I picked the Bruins at the start of last season. They just have such a well-balanced team, and they have so much depth on their team as well. You know, you got your pure two lines that can score, but the thing is with Boston, they're a gritty team. You got guys like Lucic that are on your top two lines, and no matter which line you're facing on the ice, you're bound to be hit hard, and you know they're going to go into those dirty areas.
I think so. And Chicago was a very similar team. I think that's one of the reasons why they matched up so well against each other. The surprise for me was how they beat Pittsburgh so easily. I mean, nobody picked the Bruins to win that series four straight, maybe 50-50 on winning the series totally. I agree. I think the Bruins they're a tough team. They stick up for each other. Sean Thornton is a prime example. Anybody touches anybody on that team, and that is a big plus when you know you get creamed in the corner, somebody's coming after the guy that did it. Not dirty, but they will drop the gloves if you want it. But they are a very fundamentally tough team to play against, and they prove that they don't quit.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned Sean Thornton, and I want to go a little bit off topic here, but the Montreal Canadiens, they signed George Parros in the offseason. Do you think the Habs match up a little bit better physically now against the Bruins, now that they have a guy like Parros?
I think so. You know, I think Thornton may have lost a step or two, and he's still great on that line, because that line, when we won the Stanley Cup, was the best line on the ice for them, that fourth line. I think Parros, again, toughness, right? And he's not a crazy type guy. But I don't know how good he is playing on a regular shift with line mates, you don't know how he's going to contribute that way, where Thornton's line, they roll them. That's one thing about the Bruins, they roll four lines. And if Montreal can do that, because we lost this season series to Montreal. I mean, and I talked to Gerard Gallant before every game that the Bruins played Montreal. It's awful hard for me to wish him good luck whenever they play the Bruins, but they did beat the Bruins, and I don't think the Bruins played great. If you remember, they had that 7 games in 9 days after the Boston incident. They went through a tough time, Boston. But I think Montreal will match up against them because there's such a rivalry there. They want to beat each other so bad. It doesn't matter who's in the lineup. You know, you're going to get a good game.
Oh, absolutely. I love watching those two teams play. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sport Sunday, talking a little bit of NHL. And your Bruins, they also moved a few guys this past offseason. You saw Andrew Ferentz go to the Edmonton Oilers. But most notably, out of all the guys who had their contract situation and who were re-signed or left the team, was Tyler Seguin. He had quite an interesting trade, in my opinion. It seemed as though there was a lot of different stories as to why they did trade the young forward from the Bruins to the Dallas Stars.
Well,
your opinion on why they did move them?
Honestly, I don't know all the details, but there was definitely something that we may never find out, and maybe they agreed not to talk about it, but it was the off-ice activities of a young hockey player, because, I mean, he was our future, there's no question. And I just think I heard many, many things, and Cam Neely was quoted as saying, you will never find out all the details because it's an internal thing, but it was just felt it was in the best interest of the Bruins and Tyler Seguin. And you notice he's never said anything against the Bruins, and they've not said other than it was issues that we just felt that this was the best move. They never get into the actual details, but, you know, I'm still stunned by it. I got Tyler Seguin jersey. I got the Stanley Cup jersey and all that, but he helped us win a cup, and he may shine in Dallas. He may be the best player in Dallas for the next 10 years, of which we'll have to look at that. But, you know, it's one of those situations you will never know, because Tyler's not going to say exactly what went on either.
But on the contrary, you guys got a fantastic player in Louis Erickson. He's going to play on your top line.
Well, I'll tell you what, we were talking about that. He'll fit in good, like, you know, Horton was.
Nathan Horton, yeah.
I mean, but Erickson's a goal scorer, and he's going to a team, again, that protects their players, okay? And I'm not saying that he's a soft player, but he's going to have a little more open ice chance to score. And the team concept and just the way the Bruins look after each other, and I think they got a great system, and Chara, great leader. Another example of, sticking up for their players. I think he's going to shine. And, you know, Iginla, we're going to get to that. I didn't know that they would go after him, seeing as he didn't want to be there.
That was such an interesting transaction, you know. Yeah, at the trade deadline, he rejects a trade to the Bruins. It was all ready to go.
I know.
He rejects it, and he goes to the Penguins. They lose in the Stanley Cup, but in the playoffs. And now he signs with you guys in the offseason. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't, but I don't think there was a lot of players out there that the Bruins are going to get for $1.3 or $1.4 million, and with a contract that meant you succeed, you get more money, up to $6 million. And I think that they wanted him in the first place, so there's still that want, what they figured he could do. And I think that he has something to prove. And I still think, I liked him. I always liked Jerome Iginla, the way he played. He never got a break in Calgary. Always had a team that could never make the playoffs, did everything possible. I think he'll love it in Boston. And again, when you get into that mix, and, I know he was in Pittsburgh, a lot of pressure on him going into Pittsburgh, right? Don't worry, we got Crosby, we got Malkin. Well, they didn't. They needed him to carry them a little bit, too. But in Boston, he'll be one of four lines, and the fans will start cheering for him instead of booing him.
Well, I think the thing, too, is, you know, Iginla's one of those guys, he's not afraid to drop the mitts.
That's right.
And he's going to fit in great with that offense. Whenever you think about it, like, he'll stick up for his teammates whenever they need him to be. But I guess the only question that I have with a guy like Jerome Iginla is his age.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting up there in age. Is he still going to be effective, though, Roger?
He doesn't have to be in our top six players, though. He could be in our top 8 or 10. So if he can go out and chip in with 20 goals this year or 15, that's still probably 5 to 7 more than maybe Horton might have, because Horton, for us, I liked him, but he was prone to injury, right? We all understand that. I can't believe he got signed for 7 years at $5 million a year.
And he's going injured into the season.
Exactly. But where Ginla never was injured, okay, he may be older, but he looks like he keeps himself in good shape. And I think if his ice time is 10 minutes, 12 minutes, you're going to get a good 10 or 12 minutes from him. And I think with... he could be on again with Bergeron. He could be on with Krejci. Who knows? I mean, you get the chance to be on with these guys, and you see for your last year maybe of your career, and you got a chance to do some good things with the team that made it to the Stanley Cup final. I think it's all pluses, and we'll see in the first month of the season. Maybe they'll be minuses, but it surprised me. But again, they made some different moves. They're going with younger guys in some sense, but bringing some experience in. And again, there wasn't a lot of players out there for that salary range, I don't think, for them to go after.
Oh, that has that caliber of talent as well. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking some NHL, and it's now time to, you know, evaluate the offseason. Roger, who would be your winner from this year's offseason?
Well, there's a lot. I tell you, Edmonton scares me. I think the Edmonton Oilers I think they're going to be a team to reckon with this year. I don't know. Pittsburgh surprised me because I don't know what's happening with Pittsburgh, right? But there's a lot of teams, Dallas, right? There's teams there that are always on the brink. But Detroit Red Wings?
That's my winner from this past season.
That's what I'm thinking because, you know, Detroit has another great ownership group. They backed them 100%. And, you know, they just have a good group of people to play with. So,
and a great coach as well with Mike Babcock.
He's an excellent coach. And I think watch out for them, you know. And Colorado, you know, they kind of did some things. So I don't know what to say. I think it's going to be tighter. I think, I think Toronto's going to be a tough team to play against. And we got Detroit now in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to change the whole makeup of them because they're a skating team. They're from, you know, they're a team that moves the puck like European hockey players, like the Russians used to do. And I think that's going to change some of the way that they play. Make Bruins, Toronto, all those teams are going to Montreal. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch. I love Original Six teams. There's nothing like seeing Original Six. And even though the expansion has been great, when I see two Original Six teams play like the Rangers against the Bruins or Hawks against the Leafs, there's nothing better because that's the era that I remember best. So I think Detroit's going to make it a very interesting season.
It's going to be very interesting for sure, especially with the new divisions as well. I talked to Paul McLean earlier whenever he was here for the Hockey Atlanta Coaching Clinic, and he didn't seem too fazed about the whole division realignment. He said, you know, we're still going to play the teams that we normally play, like the Bostons and the Montreals, all the time. It doesn't really affect us a whole lot, other than, I guess, you know, you look at the conference makeup, but still, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to have a huge impact, but... yeah,
I don't think it will because, you know, the reason Paul McLean is successful is because of what you just said. Nothing bothers him. If you look at, I love the way he coached Dave Cameron, good friend of mine, great mix of coaching on the Ottawa Senators. They had real well with all the injuries they had this year, so why would he worry? You know, really, I think you're right. It doesn't matter who you play, you got to win. And if you can't adapt to who you're playing, then you don't have the right coaching staff and you don't have the right team. So it's not going to make any difference anyway. So I think everybody, knowing that you have to play X number of games against teams in any division, to me, it's, again, goaltending, defense are your number one thing. And then if you get some offense to go along with it, it's a good thing. But goaltending and defense are the difference in any team that's going to be in this division.
Speaking of the Ottawa Senators, they're going to be another team to be reckoned with this season. As much as I love Daniel Alfredson, as much as he's good for the community, he was getting up there in age.
Yep.
But, I mean, you add a guy like Bobby Ryan, who's a proven goal scorer with the Anaheim Ducks, and you add him on your team with a guy like Jason Spezza, they're going to be dynamite this season.
No question. And let's not forget all the rookies they brought up and were tough with them. So they got a great future. I think with and you know what, Paul McLean, he's a great coach for that group. He gave everybody a chance. And, I mean, these guys went right down to the wire. And with players out injured, so many guys out injured, I think you're right. Alfredson, it's fair in his choice to make a decision. I know it was hard for him, but he wants to win a Stanley Cup. And Realistically, I don't think Ottawa will win the Stanley Cup this year. They could be in the semifinal for it, but I think Alfredson believes going to Detroit. And again, who knows, right? Because who would have picked Chicago and Boston, really? Some people, but who would have? I mean, we were one minute away from not making it. Toronto could have been there, right? So you don't know. Each year is different. It doesn't matter how well you did last year. It's how you do this year. But experience is a big thing. And I think that I think Ottawa will be tough. And I think it's going to be a great season. You mentioned that short season last year, they played every second night. A lot of players were injured. A lot of people got hurt. So it's hard to judge teams how they finished last year based on that, with all the injuries, right? But nope, it's going to be a real... I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Me too. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Now, we got the winners from this past offseason. We also got to talk about the losers. In my opinion, the biggest loser was the Winnipeg Jets. You know, they missed out on the playoffs, and really, they didn't do a whole lot in the offseason to help improve their team.
No, and they got the greatest fans. We all have seen that. They just love that team. And I thought perhaps they would make a few more moves to do it, because realistic, if you look back, why didn't you get into the playoffs? Was it because you didn't have that forward, that, you know, the goal scorer, the tough guy? To me, it seems like they just can't take the next step with the team that they got. I thought they should have made some moves, and I think you're right. They may be sorry that they didn't go after certain players and try to just improve a little bit, because, you know, their fans are going to be there, but they're going to get tired of this one step not there.
Absolutely. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking some NHL, and we're going to wrap this up with our Stanley Cup predictions. Roger, you go first.
Okay, I think on the Chicago's going to get back. I believe Chicago, they haven't hurt themselves. You know, they still got a good team. I think, I don't know, I'd like to pick my Bruins, because I believe we still have a good nucleus. But watch out for Detroit.
Watch out for Detroit. I like that. I'm going to go, Roger, with... I don't know. I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to surprise a lot of people. But I also agree with the prediction and the hockey news that the St. Louis Blues are going to be a very impressive team coming out of the West. And I also feel as though you may see a surprise from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
They're a team that hasn't really been talked about a whole lot. But, you know, their goaltending situation, if Steve Mason can return to the form that he was back in Columbus whenever he won a Calder trophy, I don't know. I think the Flyers might be an okay team. I also feel as though my Habs might be all right.
Yeah.
Whether they're there just yet, maybe not sure. But I don't know. I'm going to have to go with the St. Louis Blues myself.
Well, I think that's a good choice, because they were that close to getting through. Every game's a one-goal game with them. And they got a good coach. Could be any one of those. But guess what? She's wide open.
She's wide open. It's going to be a great NHL season. Roger Hearn, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate you joining the show.
Well, thanks, Ryan. It's nice to get back on the air again.
It's been a lot of fun. That was amazing. Roger Hearn joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, previewing the 2013-2014 NHL season. Stay tuned here on Spud Sports Sunday, as coming up after the break, we'll speak with Spero Mantzoukas, a trainer in the Continental Hockey League. From here on Prince Rupert Island.
Hi, I'm Eddie Shack, and I'm listening to Spud FM.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. I am Ryan McKenna, and you're listening to an all-hockey episode of Spud Sports Sunday, our last episode of the summer of 2013. Don't forget that you can interact with us here at Spud Sports Sunday. We're live tweeting tonight's show on Twitter under @SpudFM. Spero Mantzoukas, he's done a lot of training for a large portion of his life. He gets people in shape in time for hockey season. That's his job. Earlier this summer, Mantzoukas, he went over to Russia for 7 weeks to train with a hockey club called Amur HC in the Continental Hockey League, or as we like to call it here in North America, the KHL. It must have been pretty good. Like, he must have done pretty good. Because Mantzoukas, he's getting ready to head back overseas to train Amur HC on a full-time basis. It is one of the fastest-growing hockey leagues in the world. And earlier this week, before he left for Russia once again, Mantzoukas gave us some insight on how Russian hockey players are different than the hockey that we see here in Canada. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday It's Spiro Mantzoukas, a hockey trainer here on Prince Edward Island, who has a gym located at a Stratford PEI called Next Level Training. Spiro, thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
So, Spiro, it's been quite the last few months for you. You've been here on PEI, but you've also got back to Russia where you're training with Amur KHC of the Continental Hockey League, the KHL, where you were training the team for 7 weeks. How did that go?
It was really, really interesting, actually. It was quite an experience. Great players, guys with great attitudes. I got to see a different part of the world and experience some different training techniques from Russia. And implementing my own stuff was quite unique.
And was that your first time in Russia?
It's my first time in Russia, that's correct.
How did that sort of job opportunity arise to you, Spiro?
Well, I had, being in the circles that I'm at in terms of training and working with high-level players, you always run across someone who's looking for some expertise for, hockey training. And a person that I knew that is the director of player personnel for the Florida Panthers asked me if I'd be interested in going to Russia to train some pros. And that's how I got the job.
It sounds like quite the gig as well. And I hear that you're also heading back there in a few days.
I'm heading back on the 29th. Hopefully my visa's ready by then, give or take a few days. The team decided to hire me on as a contractor, do some consulting with them. So I'm going to go over and spend some time with the team till April.
Spiro Mantzoukas joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, hockey trainer here on PEI, heading over to Russia. So, Spiro, what was the hockey training like for the Amur HC whenever you got over there, and how have you been able to change it?
Well, they typically do quite a prehistoric type routine over there. They're very adamant about a lot of work in a short amount of time frame. So I think they're averaging roughly about 25 hours of training a week. And in our standards over here, I mean, 15 hours would be a lot. So, seeing that and taking information down and watching their patterns over the first couple weeks, I decided to tune it down a bit and bring it down to about 15. And the players were responding much better from that. Typically over there, they have a short season, so they want to get as many wins as they can get by Christmas time. Otherwise, the better teams like, say, SKA or SKA end up, getting in a rhythm at that point where they start trying to make a playoff push. So getting points early is really important.
Absolutely. And any team, getting points early and often is always a nice thing to have. Spiro, you were quoted as saying that the teams in Russia are trying to North Americanize their programs. How did you go about getting these hockey players to get in the shape that, is more North American, more Canadianized, that hockey players around here are doing?
Well, you know what? Most of their training is really endurance-based. And after looking at that, I really had to sit down and educate the coaching staff on the different types of energy systems that are involved in hockey. Once I started to exercise that to them, they started to notice that, geez, there's power involved, there's anaerobic capacity, there's aerobic capacity, all these different types of energy systems that make the player better in different areas of the game. And so I told them, they had to trust me on the type of training that I do. So, we started to implement that, and the guys started responding, and, we were testing the players. The results were quite out of it, that they were, getting in better shape, getting faster, quicker.
And all in 7 weeks, too. Did you find that a challenge, given the time frame that you were given?
Yeah, I've always been... It's funny you say that, because I've always been pressed for time. Players come in 10 weeks and got to get ready for camp. So 7 weeks is a short amount of time. But, an athlete that's at that level can respond very quickly with training.
Spiro Mantzoukas, hockey trainer for Amur HC in the Continental Hockey League, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, Spiro, what has been your biggest challenge while working with these Russian athletes?
Probably the language. What I like about it is, or what's easy, I guess, is that the players respond to what you tell them, because they're all on 1 or 2 year contracts. So the respect levels are much greater, and the player pays attention a bit more. Where in the North American Hockey League or the NHL, players have 5, 6, 7 year contracts, and sometimes when you give advice to a player, they might just brush it off or say, "Oh, it's all right, I'm good, I can do this." But right there, they have to pay attention. You know, this is a lot of players coming in and out of that league, from especially from North America imports. So everybody's very responsive to the type of training. But in terms of the negative end of it, I'd have to say that, like I said, the language barrier is very difficult, and it's just, you know, very old school over there.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of travel involved whenever you're working with Moore HC and the KHL. A lot of travel, actually, including the closest team that you have to you guys is 6 hours away. 6 hours.
Yeah, that's quite an experience for me. I'm not really big on flying either, but you know what? Got to do what you got to do. It's a good opportunity. We traveled the other day. We went from Khabarovsk to Moscow, which was 7 hours, and then we went from Moscow to Astana, Kazakhstan, which was 4. Then I had to leave, go back to Moscow, get on a plane, fly to New York, and then fly to Prince Edward Island. So it was about a 22, 23-hour day for me.
That would take a lot out of you, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it kicks in about 3 days later.
And the travel sort of thing, Sparrow, was that something that you had to consider whenever you accepted a full-time position with the team?
I did, and that was probably, you know, when they first gave me an offer, I declined it because, you know, I just, in terms of the amount of travel and time that I have to be away, it wasn't going to fit my schedule. And so anyway, they, you know, decided to up the ante a little bit and make the offer a bit better. And I told them I wanted to be able to come back a couple times during the year. And they said no problem. And so that, you know, worked out pretty good.
That's awesome. So I know we touched on maybe the language barrier being a negative in regards to being in Russia. But what did you like about the country?
You know what? The people are really nice over there in Khabarovsk. That's primarily my you know, what I've been around in the terms of seeing Russia so far. I haven't been able to go to Moscow and spend time. But where I'm at, people are very nice. Style or fashion is very high there. You know, people don't make a lot of money over there, so they're very humble. And you know, they don't worry about, they're not very materialistic, so it's pretty neat to see that type of culture.
Probably a little bit different than what you see here on Prince Edward Island, I would have to assume.
Yeah, you know what, there's some similarities. I mean, we have a small place here, and people are humble here too, and go about doing their business. I think we're a little more modernized in terms of technology. You know, over there the kids don't have video games and aren't playing in the playing Xbox every day. They're all riding their bikes or playing hockey in the streets. And you know, if you look at their population, they're all very lean and thin because they're walking everywhere. And so, you know, it's kind of nice to see that, because you know, our society, or modernized society, has changed a lot. You know, I kind of like the old school a little bit after I've seen that.
Sparrow Mantzavrakis, hockey trainer for Amur HC, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, Sparrow, you've worked with a lot of hockey players in your time period of being a hockey trainer, whether it be the NHL, the CHL, the list goes on. Is there a place for Canadian hockey players in the KHL? Is it a viable option for maybe some players where NHL is not in their future?
You know what? It's a great opportunity because, you know, when we talk about the NHL and less than 1% of the hockey population making it to that level, you know, when a team offers somebody a two-way contract and, you know, the KHL turn around and say, look, we'll offer you a pro contract over here for $700,000 or $800,000 U.S. tax-free, I mean, it's pretty tough to turn that down. So you can go over there and play a couple years and, you know, maybe end up going back to the NHL. But a lot of guys end up staying after they make that type of money, you know, and it's a much easier process.
One of those players was Ilya Kovalchuk. He left the New Jersey Devils this past offseason, then immediately signed with SKA St. Petersburg in the KHL. A lot of people thought that, you know, other Russians might do the same and jump ship from their NHL franchises. Is the time period that you've been there, and the time period that you've been in Russia, are Russian players, do they seem less likely to pursue NHL options now that the KHL has started to grow and become a very competitive league that can offer players, you know, big cash rewards?
You know what? They're very comfortable there. Look, you know, everybody, every kid, every player wants to play in the National Hockey League. I think that's probably the cream of the crop. But, you know, they're comfortable. Their families are there. Everybody speaks the same language. They understand them a little bit easier. And, like I said, you know, in terms of being near your family and playing that type of style since a kid, I think it fits their personality or fits how they play.
And I mean, I guess if you look at it from the Canadian point of view, if, you know, the NHL is so close to us and so viable option to us, why would we want to leave, I guess, to go to Russia where the style is completely different?
It's different. And like I said, there's not as much contact. There's a lot more skating over there. There's not as much banging and crashing or you know, small area passes. But you know what? If you want to improve your speed and you know, change it. I mean, as a hockey player, it's nice to change it up a little bit, I think, to see something different. I'd be interested to see how a high-level NHL team would do against a high-level KHL team on Olympic ice. I think it'd be pretty interesting. At first, I thought maybe the NHL team might come in and blow them out of the water, but after seeing some of these players here and how they work, it probably wouldn't be a close game, that's for sure.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe time will tell, and we will see something like that. Final last question for you. You run your business, Next Level Training at Stratford. How's the business doing now that you're in Russia?
Good. My brother's here working with me. He's a certified strength and conditioning specialist, so he's been with me for, you know, 18 years and here I'm PEI for 3. So a lot of my customers know my brother, and we've been running it. So, you know, we're the only thing is, you know, we're just it's not as highly populated as it would be in London or New York, and the prime time is mostly the summer. So wintertime is a good opportunity for me to head out over there to do some work because it's really not that busy.
Absolutely. Okay. Spiro, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on your new position with Amur HC in the Continental Hockey League, and best luck over in Russia, and thanks for joining Spud Sports Sunday.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. That was great.
We're going to take a quick break here on Spud Sports Sunday, but coming up after the break, we'll speak with Corey Arsenault, broadcaster for the Charlottetown Islanders, and preview their season entering the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Spud. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You are listening to Spud Sports Sunday, and I am your host for the show, Ryan McKenna. We're going to stick with the hockey theme at Spud FM and on Spud Sports Sunday, this time moving on to a couple of local clubs gearing up for their seasons. We'll start off with the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. After a big change in the offseason and a first-round exit in the playoffs, including a name change from the PEI Rocket to the Charlottetown Islanders, including new owners, a new general manager, and fresh new leaders on the team, there's a lot of questions entering the 2013-2014 season for this franchise, based out of the Civic Center in Charlottetown. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's play-by-play commentator for the Charlottetown Islanders. Yes, the now Charlottetown Islanders, Corey Arsenault. Corey, thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure, Ryan.
So, Corey, you have a new partner alongside yourself this year in the booth, George Matthews, who left the Columbus Blue Jackets organization to come home to Prince Edward Island. Matthews was a play-by-play man in Columbus since they came into the National Hockey League in 2000. Corey, what's your role with George going to be this season in the booth, and what was your reaction whenever you found out that you're going to be working alongside him?
Well, it's actually great. I mean, I was thrilled to find out that he was coming back. It's kind of deja vu for me right now talking to you. I got my start at C102 when I first switched over. Paul M. Skierman hired me out of college, and the first game I ever did color commentating was with George Matthews in East Hants, Nova Scotia, when they had the old East Hants Penguins and Summerside Capitals. So whenever George moved on to go to Columbus, that's how I kind of got my break and started doing play-by-play, and now here we are. And coming back from Columbus, and I'm going to be sitting in beside him doing color commentator role for all the home games and some maritime games, and then I think I'll be doing play-by-play for some trips to Quebec and filling in whenever he's out. So I'm really looking forward to it. He brings a lot of energy to the booth, and we've already sat down and chatted a couple of times, so I think it's going to be exciting with all the new ownership and George back. I'm really looking forward to this year.
Wow, deja vu for sure. For sure. Corey, the Charlottetown Islanders training camp, it's well underway with a couple of preseason games already under their belt. The team has made some cuts at the first of this week. At least they made some cuts, slimming their roster down to 4 goaltenders, 11 defensemen, and 19 forwards. Who in camp so far has impressed you?
I was out to see their first exhibition game home against Moncton, and I also saw a couple inter-squad games. Obviously, the first round pick in the draft, 16-year-old Daniel Sprong. He's dynamic. He's going to be a dynamite hockey player to watch. He fell in the draft. In my opinion, he's a top three overall talent. The kid has everything. He can skate. He can shoot. He can score. He's got great vision. Maybe lacks a little bit on the defensive side, but what 16-year-old doesn't coming into major junior hockey? But he looks like a crackerjack hockey player. The second round pick, Bradley Kennedy, is a farm boy from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. He's trimmed down. He's got himself in great shape, and he's looked fantastic. He's got a filthy set of hands, and he's been put on display in Moncton. He scored an unbelievable goal. So I think the future is bright. Back on the blue line, they also have another Nova Scotia kid, Duncan McKay. He's 6'2", and he hits like a freight train. So the rookie and those kids look really good, but returning vets back in. Antoine Bibeau, he's going to be the key for the team this year, drafted in the sixth round by the Toronto Maple Leafs. He really came on strong last year, took the starting job away from Maxime Lagacé, so he's going to be counted on for big things. And Jean-Pavel Leconte, drafted in the third round this summer by Phoenix Coyotes. He's looked extremely impressive in camp. Really only had a handful of games, I think 15 or 16 regular season games last year. He was out most of the year with a shoulder injury, won a gold championship with the under-18 team in the fall, or rather in the spring, and he got his ring here, so he's really going to be counted upon. So, things are looking good for this year's team. The Maritime Division isn't as strong as it was last year, so it's going to be a competitive battle here in the Maritimes for sure.
Corey Arsenault, color commentator for the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Now, although you said there is some veteran talent that's going to be returning, the team is also losing their captain from last season and leading goal scorer Josh Curry, as well as Ben Duffy, the league scoring championship. How do you expect this team to fill those voids, especially offensively?
Well, it's tough. There's no way that they're going to be replaced. Duffy with 110 points, just a smooth, smart heads-up hockey player, and Josh Curry was just an absolute pleasure to watch play hockey last year. He was so dangerous on the penalty kill. I think he led the league with 10 or 11 shorthanded goals. He scored 48 on the season. He was just outstanding game in and game out. A real heart and soul type player. Two 20-year-olds that were counted on heavily, but that's the thing about junior hockey. Graduation comes every year, so there's a chance for some other guys to step up and play, some top 6 minutes. Second overall pick last year, Alexi Pepin, he's going to have some big shoes to fill. He's a real dynamic scorer, a great shot. He's going to see some time on the top line. Tadej Taran, big right winger from the Czech Republic, he's coming back. He's a 20-year-old. He's going to be counting upon to score 30-35 goals, and then the plans on that top line as well. There's going to be some opportunities going up and down to the lineup, and they're going to need some key contributions to reach that 40-win plan that they had last year.
Corey Arsenault joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, previewing the Charlottetown Islanders season. So, Corey, it's a new name, it's a new logo, new owners around the team this season, but there's also a lot of things that haven't changed. Will this season be any different than in years past?
Well, if you look at the off-season moves that have been made here just in the last week, Grant Saulnier, Summerside native, he's been really impressive. He's come in and worked for Gordie Dwyer, and they're starting to sort out the guys that they want to build around and the guys that have to be shipped out. And he's been, not afraid to make any moves whatsoever. There's been a pile of them. It's going to be a new-look team, a new attitude. That's what they want. They want guys here that want to play and want to play for the name on the front of their jersey and not on the back of the jersey. So there's going to be some, a new attitude in the dressing room. Obviously, they're trying to shake the old Rocket organization and start with something new and fresh. There's an excitement around Charlottetown and around the island as well. Lots of people, him and Han, wondering what the team's going to be like, looking at the new jerseys and seeing how things are going to be run. But the bottom line is you have to win, you have to produce, and you have to put on a good product on the ice for fans to come out and watch. So I think that's what they're gearing towards trying to do, and we'll see how the fans react.
Now, talking about new general manager of the Islanders, Grant Saulnier, he has really tried to make a lot of different moves, as you mentioned there. But I've also found that he's been trying to be a little bit more local. He acquired Cameron Keeley not too long ago, and he has a few Islanders still competing for roster spots. What have you liked so far with new general manager Saulnier?
Well, I mean, he's just come in, and now I had a chance to sit down and talk with him. He was scouting the league last year for the NHL draft, so he's really trying to get a grasp on what's out there. And, you know, he's leaning on his scouts to see what's around and who may be a good fit here and there. But there's one thing I know, that the local ownership, you know, you'd like to have a good local kid in your lineup. They've always had a local kid in the lineup this year. You know, there wasn't a whole lot around, although Zach Beaton, who played a bit with the Caps last year, has been really impressive in camp. He dropped the gloves a couple of times, and he fared out very well. So I'm thinking that he may have a lock for a fourth line on the team. Nothing's been assured of yet, but that's just what I've seen. But in Cameron Kiley, I touted a first-round pick. Things didn't really pan out for him in Gatineau last year. When you have a coach like Benoit Grew, he's basically an Army drill sergeant, and if it's his way or the highway. And for Kiley, I think coming home here and having Gordy Dwyer and Luke Beck and Connor Cameron, the coach and staff that the Islanders have assembled, they'll develop him, and he'll come along nicely. He's only 17 years old, and he only turned 17, I believe, at Christmas, so he's still a 16-year-old. He was one of the youngest players in the league last year, playing up to Christmas time as a 15-year-old, and that's a big change going from, you know, Sherwood PEI to Gatineau, Quebec, and the history that the Olympics have. So you can't really count on big things for him this year, but I think he's going to be a heck of a hockey player. He's got, you know, a 17, 18, 19-year-old year. Who knows what happens when he's 20, but I think he's going to be a treat to watch here at the Civic Center.
Yeah, no, and Kiley was one of those guys that I really thought was interesting. I read earlier today that reports coming out of Gatineau saying that this player, to them, would have only been a third or fourth line guy, which for a first round draft pick seems very surprising.
Well, it's tough. I mean, Gatineau really has probably a stronger team this year. They got some good firepower up front. And in coming here, I think he's going to get a crack at playing some second line minutes and maybe some second line PP time as well. But you got to kind of play your role. And unless you're a highly skilled player, it's tough as a youngster, 16 or 17 year old, to be thrust into a first or second line role unless you're a Drouin or a McKinnon, and they don't come along too often. A lot of people have to forget, just because some of these kids are 6'2" and 200 pounds of a full beard, they're only 16 years old up in their heads and in their hearts, and you know, you got to treat them as kids. A lot of people look at them as pros and expect the world, and you know, 100% game in and game out, but it's junior hockey, and everybody makes mistakes, whether it's on the ice or off the ice. But I think for Kiley and the nucleus, I think he'll fit in really well here with the new Island franchise and what they're trying to do here in Charlottetown.
Corey Arsenault, broadcaster for the Charlottetown Islanders, talking to me in a season preview of the Quebec Major Junior franchise. The franchise, they've had a tough time advancing in the playoffs, Corey. Last year, they finished with a franchise-high 41 wins, but were beat out by the Val-d'Oise-Royal in six games in the first round of the playoffs. What does head coach Gordy Dwyer and the coaching staff need to do to help get this team deep into the playoffs? Is there a solution in sight?
Well, I mean, last year, I mean, I've been with the team since year one, and you know, it's nobody wants to make the playoffs and seen the team do well more than me. And, you know, it's always fun when you're winning. Last year, the team was written off at the start. They had been finishing last. They ended up reeling off 41, 42 wins that went into the playoffs. And if there's one team, not to make excuses, to get matched up that was going to be a tough opponent, it was the Val-d'Or. They're a big, strong, physical team, and really, they shut down players like Duffy. Curry couldn't find any open space. They just smothered us to death, basically, and you know, a couple of goals here and there, triple overtime loss, it was a heartbreaker. The team expected to, you know, so much more last year. I thought they had the troops to do it, but when it comes to trade deadline, you have to make a decision. Are we going to go for it, or are we going to sit? They only made a minor tweak and brought in Troy Vance. That wasn't enough either. They had to sell some guys and reload for this year, or bring some guys in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. You can't go halfway, because when you go halfway, you get caught in limbo, and that's when you end up losing. And I think that's really been one of the problems here over the last 10 years. Not taking anything away from Serge Savard or whatnot. I mean, it's been a pleasure to work with him and be around him, but really never really loaded up to go for it in one year. And when you just kind of get caught halfway, you're like a deer in headlights, and you end up getting run over by a team that, you know, has a little bit extra firepower, and that's all it takes when it comes to the playoffs.
Corey Arsenault, thank you very much for this broadcaster on the Charlottetown Islanders. You can catch Islanders games on Islander Radio. Now, it was on the website as Rocket Radio, but I'm assuming the name change is coming very soon.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be tough to get that Rocket lingo out of the mind after saying it for 10 years, for sure.
I'd imagine. Corey, thanks so much for this.
No problem.
And, of course, thank you for Corey for that. And the Islanders, they defeated the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles last night by a score of 5-4. They are in action once again on September the 4th in Moncton against the Wildcats. The Summerside natives Blaze Bridges as well as Thomas Stafford are still competing for roster spots on the team. We'll take a short break here in just about a minute break. But stay tuned for the Summerside Western Capitals season preview. It's up next.
Connecting the world with everything classic at spud.fm. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. I'm Ryan McKenna, and this is our last show for the summer. Earlier this week, I sat down with Chris Pride and Corey Jeffrey, who both work here at Spud FM. You may very much recognize Chris Pride's name, as he is the weekday morning host here on Spud FM with Pride in the Morning. Both are broadcasters with the Summerside Western Capitals. Now, since our interview took place, it was announced that Tim Skierman will replace Billy McGuigan as the new head coach of the Summerside Western Capitals, with Thomas Waugh sticking by his side. The Caps training camp starts up tomorrow. They had registration today. 48 players will compete for roster spots on the Summerside Western Capitals, and it's going to be an interesting season as they make a push for the RBC Cup. There's definitely a lot of roster spots to fill. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's a couple regulars here at Spud FM. You may recognize a voice or two. It's the voice of Pride in the Morning, brought to you by Cool Breeze Farms, and also play-by-play commentator for the Summerside Western Capitals, Chris Pride.
Thank you. Hello.
And joining him is his sidekick, station manager here at Spud FM.
Ooh,
and color commentary.
Station manager. Whoa.
On fasthockey.com, Corey Jeffrey. Corey, how you doing?
Good.
The part-timer is handing out promotions. Can I be the president?
It's my last show here for the summer. I can do whatever I want.
I'm going to get that on my business cards.
Station manager.
Boom.
Right under I can do everything.
There we go.
Yep.
Hey, man, happy to be here. I've been listening to the show all week. It sounded all summer.
All week. You got caught up all week. The first 7 episodes, you listen to them one a week or one a day.
Yeah, no, but they've been great, man. They've been great. We're getting better every show. So I thought, you know, last show, we'll treat them and we'll both show up.
Well, I'm happy to have you guys on and ready to talk some hockey. It's an all hockey episode. And I thought, hey, you're part of the team. You guys can be caught every Caps home game on fasthockey.com. And
yeah.
Why not? Why not end off my tenure at Spud FM for 2013 with a bang?
All right, man. Well, where do we start?
Well, the Summerside Western Capitals, they're coming off a season to remember, guys. They finished the regular season at 43-7-2, good for first place in the Roger Mink division. They went on to win the Kent Cup. They lost in the final of the Fred Page Cup to Truro. They hosted the RBC Cup, where they finished second in all of Canada. Quite the season, if I do say so myself. This season, though, it's going to be quite different. Very different looking team. Many of the players going in different directions. A lot of the players actually graduating from junior hockey. So, my first question for you guys here this evening, what can Caps fans expect with this coming season, 2013-2014? Is it a rebuild?
It is a rebuild, and I've talked to Pat McKeever a couple weeks ago, and he said that, you know, they're really going to be competitive again this year. Another thing you can expect this year is lower ticket prices. Last year, adults were $12 to get in. Students and seniors were $9. This year, they're dropping the prices. Adults are going to be $10 at the door and only $8.50 for students and seniors. So really dropping the prices and trying to get more people, more families into the games.
Well, that's the thing, and I think, you know, before I get into the team itself, you know Pat made a big effort last year to try and get people out, and there was that infamous article in the newspaper as well. And so I think this is kind of Pat and the Caps kind of putting the money where their mouth is a little bit, lowering ticket prices and hoping that the fans come out and support them. As far as the team goes, I think you can expect some of the returning players to really have to step up. A guy like JP Harvey would be come to mind first. This is one of the only guys who was in the top six last year who is returning, and he was a regular top six forward, so I would look to him. I mean, he's probably going to be a captain. He's definitely captain type material. and he's a guy that they're going to need to step up. And then you got guys like Michael Krokoc, who's younger, but the Caps were really high on him.
Just got cut from the Charlottetown Islanders earlier this week.
Yeah. Well, and I think he was wanting to go to the NCAA, too. There was some talk either way. So either way, Krokoc is a guy that they're really high on, and you know, a guy like Craig McLaughlin's going to have opportunities. Jordan Buchanan was huge defensively for them, and he's going to have some opportunities. And you know, I think the guys like that, if they can improve their offensive game, they'll have chances to earn lots of ice time.
Caps training camp starting this weekend, and see, that's the thing. A few of those names that you mentioned, they're still at major junior camps in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, so they're all going on right now. And several Caps prospects are attending those camps. Among those prospects are Blaze Bridges of Summerside. He spent part of the season last year with the Caps before going back to Major Midget, the Cornwall Thunder. He's with the Charlottetown Islanders right now. Thomas Stafford, who, from talking to a lot of people around the city, they feel as though he is, you know, a player to build this team around over the course of the next couple of seasons. He's still young. He still has 2-3 years left in junior hockey. He's with the Charlottetown Islanders as well. And then in goal, Grant Grady, he surprised a lot of people last season with the performance that he had, and he's currently with the Moncton Wildcats. Those are just a few names to mention.
Yeah.
So I guess who do the Caps have this season? I know you mentioned J.P. Harvey, but, you know, who are they going to be able to rely on? Is it going to be more local talent, or is it going to be guys that, you know, the general manager is going to have to bring in?
A few of their draft picks really have to step up as well. You know, they went to the draft pick really, really aggressively. They didn't really have that many, you know, first-round draft picks, second-round draft picks, and so on. But Jonathan Arsenault from the Cornwall Thunder, he had 36 points in 33 games last year. Another Cornwall Thunder, Curtis McGregor, he had 29 points, 9 points in 7 playoff games. So those guys really have to step up. You know, Cole Livingston, he really has to step up as well. So, you know, they're trying to draft as best as possible, but they kind of went for the RBC Cup last year and sold some of those draft picks and so on, but just trying to rebuild this year.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, they're really going to have to hope for these guys to have good seasons. They have to hope to kind of get lucky in a lot of ways, because there will be opportunities for the young draft picks, like the guys Corey mentioned, and there's going to be opportunities in net. Grant Grady is a guy who, he played really well when he was with the Caps. He only played a few games, but he played really well with them, and he's going to have an opportunity. Jake Riley, who was, I loved him as a starting goaltender. I was his biggest fan last year up until they got Kevin Bailey. But Riley's actually at a pro camp. He's actually at a Central Hockey League camp. So there's a possibility they might not get him back. So a guy like Grant Grady, he can, if he can show up to training camp and really not have a whole lot of other competition, this will be an opportunity for him to turn some heads and, you know, maybe get a shot with the Caps.
It'll be interesting to see, because I know, you know, the Moncton Wildcats, they seem to be very high on Grady, and a lot of these players, as I mentioned and that you guys have mentioned as well, it's all going to depend on what their performances are like in tryouts. Chris Pride and Corey Jeffrey joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking about the Summerside Western Capitals, sort of giving a season preview as their training camp starts this weekend. So with training camp starting, the ownership situation, guys, still up in the air. It's been heavily publicized in both here on Spud FM as well as in the Journal of Pioneer that George Roberts, the team's current owner, is shopping the team, although a group of local buyers have yet to reach a deal with him. Do you guys feel as though with the ownership situation up in the air, it's going to affect the team's performance at all?
It affects our performance because we don't have any commitment for this year for Fast Hockey, because Pat McKeever really wanted to, you know, make sure that the new ownership and the new coaches and so on really wanted us in the booth, and he has his fingers crossed, as we do, to be able to pull that off. But, you know, with their first home preseason game on the 31st versus Dieppe, you know, he really has to get the ball rolling. And I actually heard today that there's a second group coordinated by a bunch of local businessmen that are looking into purchasing the Caps as well. So, you know, if the first group doesn't work out, maybe the second group is a group to fall upon, but, you know, wait and see.
And, you know, more to that, I think the ownership thing has been an issue that you hear coming up time and time again. Billy McGuigan brought it up when we chatted with him after he accepted the job at the Pats, and that's one of the reasons why he was looking into getting into the WHL or the Q or somewhere like that, was because he wasn't quite sure what was going on with the ownership. And I think right now it's kind of a waiting game. You know, it can't be an enviable position for Pat McKeever right now. You know, he's got a coach he wants to hire. He's got things on the go, but they're waiting for the right time to announce this whole situation. And I mean, listen, the Caps have a funny way way of making things work out. We saw it with the arena deal. They made it work out at like the last possible second. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they managed to figure this thing out just in time and, you know, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at the Phoenix Coyotes. You know, that ownership situation has been dragging on for years, and really the media has made it into a distraction for a lot of these teams. And not saying that Phoenix is quite the market that the Summerside is, but just sometimes these things can become a distraction.
And you know what? I think as far as the fans are concerned, and even to some degree the players, it's not that big a deal because the team did sign a multi-year contract with the city to stay in Credit Union Place. So we know they're staying. They're not going anywhere. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to be, you know, the guy in the suit that we get to blame if the team loses.
Time will tell. Chris Pride, Corey Jeffrey joining me on Sports Sports Sunday talking about the Summerside Western Capitals. So you had mentioned just there about Billy McGuigan. Another big offseason change for the Capitals was behind the bench. Head coach from this past season, Billy McGuigan, he accepted a position as assistant coach with the Regina Pats of the Western Hockey League. And the team has yet to name a new head coach. I know you had mentioned that Pat McKeever does have a coach that he wants to name the head coach. But he was also quoted as saying in the Journal Pioneer that Tim Skierman and Thomas Waugh, the team's assistant coaches, can handle the load for right now. Do you guys agree?
I personally definitely agree. I interviewed those guys, all three of them, before every Caps home game for FastHockey.com last year. And Timmy and Thomas know all, you know, the way that Billy likes to run the team. They're really coordinating the special teams, power play, penalty kill, shorthanded situations, and, you know, extra attackers and so on, and shot blocking. They really prided themselves last year in shot blocking, and those two guys just really took the bulls by the horns. And, you know, I think whenever I read that article in the Journal, I could really see where Pat was coming from, and, you know, just no worries, no idea, you know, no problem.
Yeah, so you mentioned that they have a similar style to Billy McGuigan. Is it going to be a very Billy McGuigan-style team still?
Well, I think Billy's got his own sort of style. We saw last year he was willing to throw anybody out at any time and change up the lines. I don't know if the other guys are going to be as free-flowing as that. But, yeah, I think in general the Caps have their own style, which is an emphasis on the physical aspects of the game and good defensive hockey. And, you know, I think we could probably expect to see, you know, that continue here in Somerset.
But whenever they do name a head coach, is it going to be one of these two guys, do you guys feel? Or is it a name that, you know, hasn't really been associated with the team so far?
I could see one of those guys. I could see Pat going elsewhere as well. You know, I mean, listen, not a lot of people expected Billy McGuigan to get the call. And I'm sure not a lot of people expected Gordy Dwyer to be named the head coach. You know, he pulls off some mavericky type stuff every now and then, so you never know what to expect with him.
And in Summerside, you know the rumor mill here in Summerside, there's all these different rumors and stuff that, you know, Tim will take over as head coach and, you know, he'll get another assistant or something to that effect, but, you know, it's just wait and see what plays out, and everything's just waiting on this new ownership deal.
Corey, it wouldn't surprise me if you were behind the bench.
No.
Chris Pride, Corey Jeffrey joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So last season, the team only had a handful of players that were from the Summerside area, and not many overall really from PEI. And, you know, that was sort of to make a push for the RBC Cup and, you know, to win it all. But, you know, we also saw in 2009 and years previous, whenever they were successful, a lot of the players were local. In order to be successful here in Summerside, do you guys feel as though the Caps need to be more of a local, talented team?
It's hard to argue that point. You know, when you look at some of the struggles they had last year getting people out to the games.
And like you guys mentioned earlier, the Journal Pioneer article where Pat McKeever called out in the Journal Pioneer about the attendance.
This was a winning team. They were far and away the best team in the league last year. And they had some trouble getting people to the games. I do think having local content is definitely going to help. But at the end of the day, it comes down to winning as well, you know. It's tough. It's tough. I remember, well, I'll go back to the RBC Cup, that the last time they were in the RBC Cup, that was a team that was stocked with local talent. And that was a team that wasn't expected to win. And it was kind of a surprise when they did, and kind of a surprise when they kept going further and further. And I think that whole story around them also kind of helped the city sort of fall in love with them.
But in Tier 2 Junior A hockey, teams love, like, local cities like Summerside love local talent, and they'll go to games to see those local talent and kids that they could say, oh, hey, that's my cousin Johnny.
Yeah, Knox, a few years ago.
Jordan Knox
is a prime example from Skinner's Pond, PEI. They say he brought like 80 to 100 people a game alone just to see him because he was, you know, Johnny's son or whatever his dad's name. And everybody knew of Jordan Knox and you know, his capabilities on the ice. And he was one of the best players that year as well. So everybody really rallied behind him. But there is a lot of local talent still. Stafford is from Kensington.
Yeah.
Zach Beaton's still here, and there's still lots of local talent around, and just got to depend on those guys more and more too because of the draft pick situation as well.
And Zach Beaton's got to watch, man. Honestly, Zach Beaton, he's a guy I could see him owning this town because he plays that physical style. He's a fighter, loves to drop the gloves. So right off the bat, you guys, I know you're both Habs fans, but Summerside fans are like Leaf fans in that they value toughness and grit as much as they value skill and speed and natural talent. And Beaton's one of those guys who plays the game hard. And there were times last year where he was buzzing around the front of the net and a couple extra bounces, and the story on Beaton could have been a little bit different than what it was. And again, another year of experience under his belt. You know, he's a guy who could make some noise.
We'll see what happens. Chris Pride, Corey Jeffrey, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday.
You guys didn't like that I compared Caps fans to Leafs fans, and you guys both got quiet when I did that.
Our heads dropped a little bit, like dogs. Dogs with tails in between the legs.
But it's true. Tell me I'm wrong, right? It's true. Caps fans, they love guys who bleed the colors of the team.
They like the Brian Burke style of the team, the nitty, the gritty, and the tough, right?
Yeah, it's true.
You guys are the ones in the booth. I know you said your contract situation, you know. Corey's asking for about $5 million a year, and Chris is asking for $26.2 million per year. But nonetheless, Caps regular season starts on September the 15th, a Sunday evening game at 7 p.m. Season predictions. Let's go.
You go first.
Me first?
Yeah, you go first.
I say Caps finish second overall, and they'll beat,
second overall in a rebuild?
Yeah. Yeah, second overall in the rebuild. And I think they go pretty far in the playoffs because, you know, if especially they have those special teams, like I said earlier, and the penalty kill was number one in the league last year. Power play was hovering around 23-24% last year. And, I think they go pretty far in the playoffs.
You know what, man? I think they do well. I think guys like Krokok, they help anchor the blue line. They got that big 6'7" kid who's trying out as well. He may end up in the queue, Preventure. I think the blue line stays steady for them. Guys like Jordan Buchanan, who was a great defensive stalwart, I think he helps the special teams. And, then I think they get lucky, man. I think some of those kids from Cornwall, I think one of the two of them is going to step up, you know. I'm going to say Curtis McGregor steps up. He's 170 pounds, 5'11". Had 9 points in 7 playoff games last year. I think he steps up, man. I think the Caps do all right.
And I also know that if Ross Johnson comes back, he'll be able to run for mayor. I'll predict that.
If Ross Johnson, if he doesn't have a job in the queue next year.
I'd be surprised if he didn't have a job
in the queue. I know, it's a long shot. But if the Caps could get their hands on him, my goodness, they would just, their ticket sale woes would be gone. And I think he would own this town. Absolutely. I think he'd run from there.
Chris Pride, Corey Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. This was a lot of fun.
I think you should run from there.
I got to go back to Toronto, guys. All right, I got to finish a degree.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you. That just about does it for the August 25th edition of Spud Sports Sunday. Thanks so much to Chris Pride and Corey Jeffrey for joining me to preview the Summerside Western Capital season. Their training camp gets underway tomorrow out in Slemen Park. And this is our last show of the summer, guys. Spud Sports Sunday. We're all done. It's been quite the ride for me this summer. I had the idea to start the show here on Spud FM ever since I was hired June of last year, 2012. We are PEI's only sports talk radio show, and I hope that you have been able to tell over the course of these last 8 weeks that indeed there is a place for sports talk radio on Prince Edward Island. I want to thank my boss, Al Baldwin, the operations manager for the three MBS radio stations on Prince Edward Island, for this opportunity. Chris Pride, Corey Jeffrey, who both work here at Spud FM, for all their support and ideas. All my friends, and especially my family, for putting up with the crazy hours that sometimes radio can bring. Although this is my last show for the summer, I hope to be back once again very soon to deliver lots of fun times with you, the listener. And if I haven't mentioned this enough, I really do appreciate you guys tuning in. There are some changes coming to Spud FM. They'll take into effect tonight at midnight. But you can still follow us on our social media pages. On Facebook, 102.1 Spud FM. On Twitter, at Spud FM. Or you can follow me at Ryan B. McKenna. Spud Sports Sunday is broadcast live on 102.1 Spud FM, as well as online at www.spud.fm. If you missed tonight's show, or if you want to listen to it again, the podcast version will be available on our social media pages later tonight, as well as on iTunes under Sports Superstation. Time to go back to Toronto for me and Ryerson University to continue to chase my dream. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Ryan McKenna. This was Spud Sports Sunday. So long now.